Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. And now we've added a new element to Bassmaster Radio, and that's our video feed that you can find at Bassmaster.com/radio or go to Bassmaster.com and click on the watch tab and then click on Bassmaster Radio. We encourage you as well to like and subscribe to our YouTube page at Largemouth Marketing. That's YouTube Largemouth Marketing. That's the production outfit for Bassmaster Radio. 2 Century Belts and 10 ounces away from a third, and that isn't even the lead from the story at the Guaranteed Rate Bassmaster Elite at Lake Fork. Lee Livesey on his home waters put over 42 pounds on the scales in his boat for his best five. In other words, 5 8-pounders on Championship Sunday. And then some, unlike anything we've ever seen on Bassmaster Live before. Livesey will join us later on in the Rapala Winner Circle in what should be a lively discussion. Second place Patrick Walters is also on this week. Back-to-back century belts for him at Fork. Maybe he'll get them in the same shipment? And how about Quentin Capo rolling through Texas with a couple of great events and moving up the AOI leaderboard towards the 2022 Classic?
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now, you know, a dude that we haven't had a chance to talk to in a while, but man, I'll tell you what, he was 21st at the Sabine and then third, and he gave us some real thrilling moments at Lake Fork. He is, of course, from Louisiana, Quentin Capo. Quentin, welcome back to the show, man. It's been a minute. How are you?
Nate, I'm doing amazing. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a minute, but it's awesome. I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, you're on a nice little run here. And let's get one thing out of the way. The guys talked about on live, they you know, you own a restaurant, you're in a restaurant business, and we all know how tough that it was during the pandemic and so on. But they kept making these references to you playing middle linebacker for Chicago Bears if this didn't work out. We all know that you're a workout freak. You're a beast out there. We all want you in our corner in a dark alley. Football pass, though, tell it. You're from Louisiana and you're a big guy. You got to have some football in your history, don't you?
Man, I played when I was a kid. And I played when I was younger. Then I got into baseball and I kind of got out of it. Then fishing and hunting took place. And, you know, I just kind of went the fishing hunting record route. You know, never played ball in high school or anything. But to be honest with you, I was only 5'2" till a senior year in high school.
Really?
So I was a late bloomer.
Yeah, well, you certainly bloomed pretty good. I mean, that's for sure. And and maybe a little bit of a late bloomer since you started your elite career, because it's been a little bit of a tough go. I mean, you know, everybody knows that, you know, you kind of needed to have some good results here, and now after these last two tournaments, you're now about 44th, I think, in Angler of the Year standings, which is just outside of the Classic cut line. And after a tough start to the season, you got to have a lot of confidence right now after these two Texas tournaments.
Yeah, it's been a good momentum change here. Something I really needed for my career, for my year, you know, for my status of being an elite, you know, for the future. It's about fishing places I'm more comfortable, where fish get in the depths that I'm comfortable fishing in. The style of fishing for the last two events, just like Florida, I did well in Florida. It's what I like to do. It's what I know how to do. And sometimes I get caught up doing things that I think I'm supposed to be doing rather than things that I do, you know, that I know how to do. So right. I got to give credit right there to Bill Lowen. I mean, me and Bill Lowen, he's like a mentor to me. Bill Lowen told me on the side, he said, man, you have to go do what you know how to do. Quit trying to do what other people are doing. And, you know, it's always been said, just never really quite understood. Now I'm kind of getting it. Okay, just go do me. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But at least you're confident in doing what you know how to do and putting yourself in areas that you, you know, that you can be successful at. And that's what I'm doing, you know, and it's paid off the last couple of weeks, events. And I look forward to taking that same approach to Neely Henry.
You know, that is such incredible advice. I've been fishing the Opens as a co-angler for a few years now, and I've been fishing tournaments myself since the 80s. So, you know, I've been around the horn a minute. And, you know, you see all these guys, they're drop-shotting, and they're doing this, and they're doing, I'm like, man, I got to learn how to do this, and I got to learn how to do that. And you don't know how to do those things as well, and it's not what I want to do. I want to power fish, and I want to throw big crankbaits. I want to do certain things. And you're right, man, when you're doing what you want to do, it just seems to be, now maybe sometimes it doesn't work out, but at least if you go down in flames, you want to go down doing what you are confident in, right? You don't have to do every single technique that's out there, even if it works for other guys.
Well, it just makes you make better decisions on the water. And I mean, that's the biggest key, is being able to adjust to the weather patterns, being able to adjust to every single day. Every day is different, obviously. And when you know that by how you fish, you can adjust well, rather than, okay, well, I don't know what they do out in 30 feet of water or 25 feet of water drop shot. And I have no clue what they do. So right. You know what? I know what they do on a swim jig in 2 feet of water, you know. So it's kind of one of those deals where, you know, Bill said it and I just applied it, and it's becoming true.
So last week, Quentin Capo with us, last week I'm fishing a tournament on Gunnersville. In fact, it was about a half a dozen elites in it. It was right before the cutoff, and it was a big charity event. I was fishing it, you know, for my boat, and I had a partner with me, my oldest son. And I tied on a swim bait. I was in a spot that I liked, and I tied on a big old swim bait. And I just flicked it out to just, you know, make sure I was actually sitting in the bottom of my boat. And I just kind of flicked it out to, you know, get the reel set right and everything else. And I must have threw it probably 10 or 15 feet at most. And I start bringing it back in, and a 4.5-pounder whacks it. And I'm bringing it in, and my son's like, man, I hate you. I can't believe you just caught that fish doing that. And I was thinking of that when you were, you know, you're picking out a backlash, and you flip that, you know, you flip your crankbait out there and catch a 5-pounder right after you caught a 5-pounder. I mean, that's when you know you're on a good body of water, right?
Oh, that's right. Well, you know, there's a bunch of talks about that fish catch. I mean, obviously, it was amazing. It was crazy that it happened. And, you know, everybody says, hey, was that the same fish? And I mean, I honestly, I don't think it was. Could it have been? I don't know. I find it hard to believe that you catch a fish and drag him 45 yards and drop him off, and then he goes right back and eats the crankbait again, because I had him hooked in the mouth, you know. And it just was such a dumbfounding moment, because I'm throwing, you know, 50 yards or 40 yards as far as I can out to the side of the boat. And I look at my line. I'm going, man, I'm going to burn my line if I make this cast. It was just a little loop in it. So I just toss it back towards the power poles, kind of get a little slack until, the little backlash came out, and I started reeling it back in. I said, man, I hung my power pole. And I kind of loaded up on it just to pull it around the power pole, and it just started, like, pulling back. And I was like, what is going on? And I pick up, and there's another 5-pounder on it. I'm going, I don't even know what to say here.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank God is what you say. You said thank God. You
know, my marshal's like, man, it must be your time. I said, well, I don't know, but that just happened, and I appreciate it.
Quentin Capo finished third, 99 pounds, 6 ounces. I mean, come on, man. You couldn't find another 10 ounces or so to get one of those century belts? I mean, you know, you were right there.
So I dropped the biggin.
Yeah.
And then the last three casts of the day,
I was less than, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes away from the ramp. And the last three casts, I had a six-pounder blow up my top water three times and never got it.
Oh.
So it was not meant for me to have 100 pounds. So it's a future goal of mine. It's something I can continue to look for. I didn't get to knock that notch off the belt, but I know I had all the fish on to have over 100 pounds easy. Just, you know, that's fishing.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out.
Yeah, these stories are going to be great stories for that first cast section of Bassmaster Magazine. I got a feeling one of them could end up in there, Quentin Capo with us. All right, now last couple of minutes. Off to Neely Henry and then Gunnersville. I mean, you're a Louisiana guy. These are places that could kind of fit your eye, man. What's your confidence level going to Alabama?
I'm ready. I like it. I like the style of Neely Henry. I went and did a little pre-practice session there. It kind of fit exactly what I do at home. Gunnersville, I've got a little bit of history. I made a cut there in my rookie year. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. I feel like I've put myself in contention to make the Classic, and that's the goal. My goal was to make the Classic and make one top 10 this year. I made the top 10. And now my eyes are dead set on getting in that cut line for that, you know, to do something that most people in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, have never got to do, especially Classic.
Hey, you got, you know, four more events, so there's no reason not to make more top tens. You know what I mean? You don't have to stop at one top 10 at this point in time.
Absolutely not. I'm going to keep on doing everything I can. But, yeah, as my goal when I made the Elite in 2019 was I want to make the Classic and at least one top 10 before I ever retire from this sport. And so now we're going to reconfigure. Now I want to make at least two top 10.
That's right. And to make that Classic. And you are right there. I mean, by the time they get done with the open qualifiers that make it and everything else, I mean, you are sitting right there near that cut line. But a couple of more nice finishes like this, and you can move well ahead of that cut line as well. And we're all pulling for you. I mean, it's going to be very popular. When you get the win in the Blue Trophy, it's going to be a very popular win. Quentin Capo has been our guest. Quentin, I appreciate you, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me, and we'll go get him at the next one.
All right, man. Thank you. That dude right there, that would be a very popular win. And, you know, he's one of the guys that's well-liked out there, does a tremendous job out of Louisiana. Another guy that does a tremendous job is Patrick Walters. He finished second, so we'll continue our ascend up the leaderboard from Lake Fork next with Patrick Walters right here on Phoenix Post Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And it's not quite time for the Rapala Winner's Circle. That'll come up next with Lee Livesey. But how about a great Rapala Pro sitting in second place behind another Rapala Pro in the Angler of the Year standings, Seth Fider, who we had on last week. But Patrick Walters goes for 102 pounds. I think he had 104 pounds when he won at Lake Fork last fall in November. And at that point in time, he lapped the field. This time, 102 pounds. Not quite good enough because Livesey was out of his mind on Championship Sunday. But Patrick Walters joins us now. Patrick, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Man, Tom, I'm doing fantastic. It's always a good time when I'm talking to you. That means you're doing something right. But it's kind of unreal when you catch 102 pounds in 4 days and you're still 10 pounds shy of the lead. That just shows you what a magical week it was on Lake Fork. And Lee Livesey's final day, I mean, 42 pounds. Really, I mean, just unbelievable. What an amazing day. Great tournament for everybody, for bass as a whole. I thought it was a great event. And gosh, to walk away from Texas with a century belt, I mean,
yeah,
you can't complain at all.
A second one. Have you even gotten the first one yet? Did they, like, present you with the first one yet or what?
I actually haven't got it yet. I need to call Miss Lisa and ask him about that.
Yes.
I was wondering. I was like, I wonder if I'm going to get both of them at the same time now. Like, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, tell us, save on the shipping. You know, just hook me up with both of those belts. You know what I mean? And it'll be good. And
I know.
You won't be too far from the office, you know, next month when you make the Alabama swing, when you get done with Pickwick at the Open this week. We'll get to that. But it won't be long going to Neely Henry and to Gunnersville. So it'll be easy for them to bring them to you, maybe present them to you at those tournaments. That would be kind of cool. But having said that, I mean, you had 31 pounds on Sunday, and you got to be thinking, yeah, I won this thing, 31 pounds. I mean, how you know, this is regardless of catch, weigh, and release, you know, you guys have no idea what the other guys are doing. So at 31 pounds, are you feeling pretty comfortable going in that, you know, I think I won this thing?
No, not at all. You know, it's Lake Fork. I knew I had to catch a good bag. I thought I was one good, like one 10-plus pound fish away from making something happen. But the flotilla that Lee had following him was, it was amazing. I mean, it was unbelievable. He had 50-plus boats on him,
yeah.
And how much they were cheering for him and pulling him on. Like, I mean, I was like, at one point, I think I put my rod down, and I was over there hollering for Lee, like, woo, good fish, you know, because I was actually right across the creek from him. And, I mean, they were screaming so loud. It's like, when I come back in there that final moment, the crazy thing was I've been in that one moment, and it was that exact same place last year. When I caught that 100 pounds, and it was the last 10 minutes, and I was running back in, and everybody just started clapping and cheering you. And it's like walking up on that 18th green, you know, when they know you won the tournament. And that's what that moment, that feeling is. I'm telling you, it gives you the goosebumps. And I felt it last year. And when I pulled in that creek, and Lee was idling out, and I'm telling you, everybody was giving him a round of applause, I was like, he done it. Like, I knew for a fact that he had caught him.
So
I didn't know how much he caught or how big it was, but I was like, man, I went and caught 31 pounds and did what I needed to do today, I feel like, but it was nowhere near enough. Like, I was thinking he had like 35, 37. I didn't think he cracked the 40. Like, I don't even know what you call it. I mean, the filthy 40. I mean, well, there's not even a name for it because that's just, it's amazing.
It's only happened twice before. And I was sitting there and I was trying to do the math. And it was kind of funny because I was actually working on a project at my daughter's house. So I was helping her put in a brick patio. And I was trying to follow it a little bit there. My phone is blowing up like crazy. I knew I had it recording, you know, from the FS1 coverage on Sunday morning. I was going to watch it later on in the day. And my son kept blowing up my phone. He says, are you believing this? And then when I saw 42.3, I just did the math quick in my mind. And I'm like, my God, he caught all 7-pounders. And then I did it again. No, wait a minute. That's all 8-pounders. No, wait a minute. That's 8 pounds plus. I can't even imagine that. I mean, that's an 8-pound plus average. I mean, it's just crazy.
8 pounds for five. I mean, an average of that for five fish on the final day on your home pond. That's what I was like. I couldn't even. It was. Just, it's unreal. Like I had a 4-pounder. I had to call, and I was like, man, I just need to get rid of this 4-pounder. And Lee was over there thinking, like, man, I got a 7-pound fish. I've got to call 7 pounds. That's like a fish of some people's lifetimes. You know, those are some huge fish.
Did you guys
on the final day?
Did you guys have a chance? Did you like drive out together when you were heading back in? I mean, did you have any communication whatsoever with him at all? Did he look over at you and say, yeah, I got 40? Was there any conversation at all?
It wasn't until I got back to weigh in, because he left a little bit earlier. He went and checked in, and he was sitting at everybody goes kind of parks in the back, like beaches their boat on the bank.
Yeah.
And then you can beach your boat closer to the actual weigh-in stage where their live release boat is, only if you have an over, and Lee was the only boat in there, and I had an over that day as well, and I pulled in there, and when I pulled up, it was 150 people standing around his boat.
Yeah.
Like, when I pulled up, it was like, oh my God, the people here. And I looked over at him, and I said, how good you got him? And he said, I got him. I said, you got 35? He said, oh yeah. And I was like, you got 40? And he like did his thumb up in the air like higher, and I said, you got 45? And he's like 42, and I was like, oh, like, oh, like, you can't even be mad, because he just wrecked him.
He had to head in early because the boat was so weighed down. He probably couldn't hit 55 miles an hour with all that,
I mean, I'm like, man, it's just, when I pulled up and I was like, you got him? And he was like, yeah. I'm like, dang.
That's crazy.
The crowd, though, and just that atmosphere, there was definitely an energy this week. And that just shows you the crowds being there, being back. I mean, it brings a different element to fishing. It really does.
Yeah. I can't even imagine actually bringing 42 to the scales. You know, I mean, if it was one of those deals, and they do such a great job at Lake Fork, and certainly they've created this amazing fishery. But can you imagine plopping 42 down on a scale? I mean, I don't even know. You'd have to have, like, two bags. You know what I mean? I don't even know how you would do that.
Oh, 100%. You would definitely have to have two bags, I feel like. But, I mean, just I would want to bring them into the scales for the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, five fish, like everybody's holding up an eight-pound fish. I mean, you're lucky, and you're like in a day of a tournament fishing. If you catch one 8-pounder, like you catch one, you're like, we're having a that's a kicker. Like,
right.
Wow, we're great. Five of them. Wow.
Now you wrecked them on day one too. You had 32 pounds, 14 ounces, just under 33 pounds on day one. Everybody thought, oh, here we go again. This is another Patrick Walters runaway. Day two, not so much. 15-7. There were some other tough bags on day two. Chris Zeldane struggled a little bit. Lee Livesey himself had 17-14 on day two. Just talk to me about that and having to rally from that. You know, whether or not you felt like that, it put you right out of the tournament.
Well, I definitely thought it hindered me a little bit, and the fish just did not bite. I think they pulled water that day, and fish at Lake Ward, for some reason, it's the only place I've ever been to that when they pull water, the fish hate it. They do not bite. They don't like it. It's extremely weird. I mean, it's an irregularity. It really is about that place, but I think that's why the whole field didn't catch them that day, and that's why I still – the cut weight actually dropped 7 pounds from the day before, so that just shows you that it – something was not right. And I said, you know, we're still in it. I mean, it's Lake Fork. You can go out there and bust a big bag. And I didn't adapt it to like I needed to. I knew I should have went and did something different earlier, but I just kind of, I stayed on that bite because I knew if you did catch those fish, they were big fish.
Yeah.
I should have went and scrapped it and caught 18 to 20 pounds. And day two, I kind of, or day three, I went and ended up doing a little more of that, caught 22 pounds. And I lost one about 7 pounds, to really help me on that day three. But it was just, you know, those fish were there, and I just tried to stick to them. I think I just kind of got a little stubborn, but that's how it goes, you know. That's hindsight's one thing, but that's tournament fishing, you know, can't regret it.
Yeah.
Gotta keep on rolling.
It's been a good season so far for you. Fourth at Palatka. You know, you fished very well, obviously, at the Harris Chain in the Open there. Finished third there, 23rd in Knoxville. You know, 12th at Pickwick. The last go-round, as people are listening to this, maybe you're still fishing at Pickwick on Championship Saturday as well as you circled back for the Open there. But it's been pretty good. Right on Seth Fider's tail, and the two of you, the two Rapala pros, kind of pulling away from the field a little bit, but you can't stumble when you get to Alabama, right?
Oh, absolutely not. No, it's just, it looks like we're kind of separating, but no, that's a tight race. Seth's having a fantastic year. He's catching the fish this year. He's going to be harder to beat, but the main goal is don't get carried away. You know, I'm currently just thinking about Pickwick, and when we get done with Pickwick, I'll be focused on Neely Henry. You know, I'm not worried about day two or day three or making day four. It's one day at a time. All I'm looking at is just day one, catching day one, and then we'll worry about day two. You know, not trying to get carried away. Just if we just go fishing this year and just do what we can do, I think good things can happen.
Any experience at Neely Henry for you? I know this is the first time with the elites, but have you had much experience over there? Different fishery.
All I've done is drive across the lake by truck. Never been on it. So I'm excited. I like new bodies of water.
You didn't even pre-fish it, huh? Didn't even go over there and just check it out?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. I didn't pre-fish it.
Look at you.
I like no preconceived notions sometimes.
Interesting stuff. Patrick Walters with us here talking about his second place finish at Lake Fork and sitting in second place in the Angler of the Year standings. All right. As I said, by now, people, you know, are, by the time they're listening to this, we're past Pickwick with the Open. But expectation that it's a different body of water than it was just a month ago based on the incredible amount of current that you guys had there last go around for the Elite?
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a lot more stable. I think the weights are going to be really good. I think the fishing is going to be better. The spawn should be further along. There should be some fish in all stages. There should be a shad spawn going off. I think that's really going to be a fun bite. But I think there still is some pre-spawn fish, some fish spawning, and there's definitely going to be some post-spawn fish. But I think we're going to catch a lot of fish. I think it'll take probably over 20 a day to win, for sure.
Wow.
I mean, Pickwick is it's healthy. There's a lot of fish in that lake right now. I think we're going to catch a lot of fish, and it will be a little different just because we're not going to have that crazy amount of current and high water that we have. And so I think the fishing will be very good. It'll be one to watch.
Patrick Walters has been our guest. Patrick, appreciate you as always, and we will see you somewhere, I know, in the not-too-distant future.
Yes, sir, Tom. I greatly appreciate it. It's always fun talking with you, and hopefully I look forward to talking with you soon.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, the Arapahoe Winners Circle, Lee Livesey, will join us next.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio. Time now for the Rapala Winner's Circle. And let me tell you something right now. There isn't anybody on a planet that's any hotter than Lee Livesey. I mean, this dude here in the last seven elite tournaments has had four top tens. He's got two wins. And here's the deal. He's not fishing the Classic at Ray Roberts right there in his home state of Texas. And, you know, he's certainly on his way to qualifying for the next Classic, the 2022 Classic. But I'll tell you what, everybody who is fishing the Classic is pretty happy that Lee Livesey won't be there. But what a day and what a tournament that Lee Livesey had to get the win at Lake Fork. And he joins us now. Lee, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all?
Well, I'm not as good as you. I mean, you know, I would suspect that you would be pretty good now. But, man, your confidence has got to be sky high right now. I mean, you did it one way, you know, well, top water. I guess it wasn't necessarily a different way at Chick last year in the fall. You've been solid, though. You were solid at Orange at the Sabine River. And then you go to your home lake with all the pressure, the flotilla of boats, and you're able to bag, you know, this huge, huge limit to get the win here at Lake Fork.
Yeah, man, it was just like you said, the confidence is on high. That's key right now with me. But man, it was just a surreal week, and you know, coming off a top 10 at the Sabine the week before helped a lot, you know. And just being confident and being comfortable with both bodies of water too helped me a lot. You know, I know the Sabine pretty good. I know Fork pretty good, and felt like I had a chance to win both of them, and got lucky and had one of those magical days the final day on Fork, and got me another win, and another win on topwater, you know, 2 for 2 on top. So yeah. I can't be more excited about it, and, you know, ready to get the rest of the season rolling.
It was something to see. And we got to pull the curtain back here a little bit, because you and I bumped into each other at Gunnersville at a charity tournament just a week ago. I mean, literally bumped into each other. We were waiting for the takeoff, and our boats were side by each, and you were giving me a hard time about not getting enough time on the show, and I'm a big fan of yours and your sponsors and so on. And I said, look, just go out and win a tournament. I mean, you're going to your place, and you'll have to come out in the winner's circle. And you were kind of poor mouthing a little bit. You were like talking about all the different guides out there and all the pressure on Lake Fork. I don't know. Did you feel real good going in? Were you just kind of playing possum with me, or did you were you really concerned?
We're hooked up on a fish right now.
By the way, Lee is on Lake Fork.
He's got the from Net Bait and American Bait Works out here on Fork right now, and he's got a big one on top water right now.
Wow.
It was, you know, I'm always going to downplay everything. You know, that's just human nature with me. And that is a good one. I'm one of those guys. This is awesome. I'm watching them get dominated.
Do you have to land it for him? You're not netting it.
No,
you don't have a net in the boat.
I'm not landing anything today. I'm watching. He's good. He knows how to fish. This is a,
so you got a boat?
I'm on a guide trip, actually.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh, you're blowing up over there, too.
He's going to boat flip a 6-pounder now.
That's about what it is, big old chunk. And, you know, I just, you know, it's that time of year where I don't have a lot of an advantage because there's so many fish on the bank, so yeah. I didn't know exactly what was going to play, you know, if I could catch them on a big bait, if, you know, the shad were going to be spawning, or if I was going to have to bed fish, or if I could find a group offshore. You know, these guys are good. They all find everything, like everything, you know. I mean, he got another one. yeah, it's going down right there. And it's just one of those deals that in my practice really wasn't that good. Kind of like I told you the day I saw you at Gunnersville. You know, I just kind of didn't have a lot of great stuff going, but it just kind of ended up just working out.
Yeah, I would say.
Even where y'all saw me fish the final 2 days of the tournament, I never fished there in practice. I didn't fish there in the tournament until the, you know, late in the third day. And it's just, it kind of developed as the week went on with that full moon. A lot of pre-spawners started pulling up on those bars, and the big thread fin started spawning. And I just, you know, I got lucky and got in a good rotation and caught some big ones.
Yeah, I would think that you did catch some big ones. 42 pounds, 3 ounces, the third largest single day weight in the history of Bassmaster. And you may have that today. Who knows, out there with, on your guide trip. Now, you got your net baits guy out there, and one of the baits that worked for you was the little spanky swim bait from net baits. And I had not seen that swim bait. Describe that thing a little bit and just talk about how you did that. We know you did a lot of damage on top, but also you know, some on that swim bait as well.
He got hooked up again.
We're going to set a record for the biggest bag caught during an interview.
What's the biggest bag ever caught on Bassmaster Radio at one time?
There you go.
The little spanky is just a small swim bait. And, you know, and it wasn't a huge player. You know, I caught one of my keepers the first day on it. You know, just being honest. I was throwing it on a Carolina rig on a shad spawn, actually on the spot that we're really close to right here. And I caught a bunch on a jerk bait and a topwater and a square bill, and they got really smart, and I picked up a Carolina rig and put a little spanky on it, you know, and just drug it through there real slow on the bottom, and I ended up catching, you know, a really good one on it that helped me and got my bag up to, you know, whatever I had that first day, 26, 25 pounds, and that's the only damage I did with that. But it was one of those deals that every spot that I couldn't get them to bite, you know, I'd pull out that Carolina rig with that little spanky and throw it back in there, and I'd always get two or three more bites, whether they were one-pounders or four-pounders. You know, they helped my confidence, not only to get a limit early, but to, you know, see if I could catch a fish after they went down.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting to watch you on Saturday, because it seemed like even though you were catching a good bag, you watched 40 pounds blow up. You know, it seemed like, well, I'm catching the fives and the sixes, but I'm seeing seven, eights, and nines blow up. So you kind of had an indication that they were there in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some giants. I guess that'd be the third day. Oh, got another one. Hooked up.
You're going to have a 20-pound bag during the show. During a 10-minute interview, you're going to have a 20-pound bag.
Oh, my gosh. They're schooling everywhere. Oh, yeah. We're close to that already.
Yeah.
I saw some big ones, and it was almost impossible to not catch. I didn't catch a fish over, I think, a 6-7 was my biggest one the first 2 days. Or, heck, the first 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just getting by. I was catching good fish, don't get me wrong. And, you know, I'd had some opportunities, you know, missing the – I had two – to the second or third day, missed the big bait that were giants, and a couple on topwater that were giants. You know, just missed it. Didn't lose any of them. Just missed it. You know, I lost 1 4-pounder on a glide one day, and it was just, you know, I know what lives where here for the most part on these bars. And, you know, once I got comfortable and got in that cut, you know, I spent all my time, the rest of the time, you know, throwing big baits and being on spots where it's just big fish, and big shad was the key for me. You know, I was around those giant gizzards where they spawn and on spots that I know you catch 7 to 10 pounders, you know, and oh, hooked up again. Oh, missed it.
I'll tell you, Lee Livesey joining us from Lake Fork, where he's out on a guide trip with one of his sponsor reps, which is always a really cool thing to do. You know, for you, like I said, two wins in the last 7 tournaments, and now you're looking forward to the Alabama swing where you'll go and fish Neely Henry and then back to Gunnersville. We talked about the confidence part of it. You are, I think, 4th or 5th in the points right now. Where does the focus go? I mean, do you just continue to focus on strictly, you know, one tournament at a time, or are you going to start thinking a little bit about points here, you know, not to have one that could kind of not derail your shot at possibly even winning the AOI?
No, I mean, obviously, AOI is in my head. Anybody that says it's not when they're in the top 4 this far into the season is lying to you. But it's one tournament at a time, 100%. Obviously, you know, I've got, you know, had great success on Gunnersville. Looking forward to that one. I've been to Neely Henry once last year for open. I did decent. And both tournaments in New York I've been to, you know, I've only been to Champlain once, mm-hmm. and the river a couple of times. But I stayed up there for an extra month last year and fished every day by myself. So I'm, you know, my confidence on the stuff up north is just, you know, super high right now. I really like fishing up there. So, you know, for me, it's just getting to Neely Henry and figuring out if I need to 50 him to death, or if I have a shot to win at the end of the day, or, you know, at the end of day 3, if I make it, and going from there. It's just, you know, one tournament at a time and one day at a time, man. You can't stumble with these guys. You know, you screw up one day, it's over. You know, you saw that last year with me, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, having a an amazing year, best year of my career last year, and not making the class, you know, having a couple, you know, mechanical failures and just sucking in the state of Florida, almost getting dead last, and it cost you a bid. So yeah. Just you got to catch them every single day.
You had Patrick Walters. We just had Patrick on. You had Patrick in there in Little Caney as well. He wasn't too far from you. He commented on the fact that he could hear your crowd, your flotilla, cheering, you know, on every catch, and he was wanted to start cheering for you as well. But he didn't suck himself. I mean, he had 31 pounds. But we talked about day two. He had 15-7. You had 17-14. Did you feel like it was slipping away after 25-6 on day one? Did you feel like, oh, this is gonna bury me? Or did you know that everybody was pretty much struggling except for Taco Ito, who had 33 pounds?
And it was just, I did the same thing in 2019. Even remember in 2019, Brandon Cobb won.
Right.
He only had 14 pounds the second day. And, you know, I was in the top 10 in 2019 the first day and didn't even catch a limit the second day. It was just almost like mirror images. And I don't even know what happened, to be honest. It was just, you know, I wasn't worried about anybody else. I was worried about me getting in that 50 cut where I could take a swing the next day. And I kind of fished that way. Honestly, I kind of, not saying I fished scared, but I fished where, like I said, you know, I'd pull out that little spank on a Carolina rig where I'd know I'd catch a couple fish and just make sure I got that 10 grand and made that cut. And I just, you know, didn't run around a lot. I fished some spots I knew I'd get bit. You know, I caught that 18, you know, 17, 14, whatever it was, a decent little bag, but I was confident that I could go the next day and you know, who knows what could happen. And that's how it ended up happening, you know.
Have you ever had 42-3 for your best five at Fork before? I mean, you know, was that your best day ever on the lake, or have you had those kind of days, you know, in these guide trips?
Oh, no, I've probably had 100 days over 40. On guide trips.
You got to be kidding me.
You know, when the lake. Yeah. No, when the. This is Lake Fork. That's, you know.
Wow.
That's nothing out here. When the lake was low from 2012 to 2014, the place was just amazing. Before everybody was throwing big baits, before big baits were cool, man, it was just insane. But, you know, the same thing. You can blast them in June and July, August when they're out to eat. You blast them in the pre-spawn. I'm not saying all the time, but, you know, you. When it's going down, you're going to have 2 or 3 days, you know, in that 40 to 43 range. It's really hard to get over 43.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I would
this
think.
This time of year with a,
I would think it would be hard to have a 9-pound average. I would think a 9-pound average would be a little hard.
Yeah, this time of year with top water, it's hard to catch 42. It really, I thought I might be able to catch 35 if I got lucky, but it just one of those days that never happens.
So if I come out for the Classic a couple of days early, I'm going to find you and drag you out there on that lake then. You're going to take me out of Fork. That's what I think will end up happening, you know, because it's not like you're going to, you know, it's unfortunate for you, and it's fortunate for the rest of the field that you're not going to be a Ray Roberts, but I may have to grab you and go out on Fork for a minute. Just saying.
Come on.
All right, brother.
That's a good time.
Did Michelob Ultra, one of your great sponsors, do they send you a case or anything when you win like that for them?
Man, they fed the whole Minnebuck at Marina, man. There's a, you know, couple,
the Minnebuck
probably 100 of my buddies out there, and they just sent a whole truck out there from Anheuser-Busch with all kinds of stuff. You know, I'm sure Corey Johnson, Caleb Summerall still might be asleep over there.
That's tremendous. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you. Congrats on the win. I will see you when you get to Alabama, and just keep this roll going, man.
All right, man. I appreciate y'all having me on.
All right. Thank you. Lee Livesey. What a great guy, man. What a great win. All right. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as we tie this one off to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Get your official Bassmaster merchandise at Bassmaster.shop. Hats, shirts, hoodies, and more, all from your favorite outdoor brands and great Bassmaster styles. Plus, Bassmaster.shop has official Bass Nation merchandise. Shop for yourself or get gifts for your friends and family. Look for great deals every week at Bassmaster.shop, the only place to buy official Bassmaster and Bassmaster Classic gear. Now, with a new year comes an all-new way to watch Bassmaster Live. As always, days 1 and 2 will be available at Bassmaster.com. Then for days 3 and 4, FS1 will have exclusive live morning coverage of the leaders, while Bassmaster.com has extended coverage of the field. Afternoon coverage of days 3 and 4, including the weigh-ins, will be at Bassmaster.com. Other streaming options are available on the Fox Sports app, and look for replays during the week as well on the Fox Sports family of networks. Now is the time to sign up for Rapala Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing with prizes for first through 20th place in each elite event and the Bassmaster Classic. Plus, one grand prize winner will receive a $15,000 Bass Pro Shop shopping spree, $5,000 cash, and a variety prize pack from Rapala, a total value of more than $20,000. In fact, a grand total of more than $90,000 in prizes are available this year. So visit BassmasterFantasy.com to register and pick your team. And while you're at it, why don't you try out the new fantasy fishing contest as well? Mercury's Bassmaster Drain the Lake Challenge. Drain the Lake requires players to use an entirely different strategy. Drain the Lake is considered an elimination pool game. In other words, players can only pick an Elite Series angler one time during the course of the season. Unlike traditional fantasy fishing, there are no buckets. Tournament players select any 8 Elite Series anglers. And after you choose an angler for a specific event, you can no longer select that angler for any of the remainder of the season. The Drain the Lake winning player, along with the rest of the top 5 players from each Elite Series tournament and the Classic, will receive a prize package, which includes one Mercury backpack, a Mercury wall clock, a Mercury 12 can cooler, and a Mercury first aid kit, along with a Mercury hat and Mercury hoodie. The grand prize winner for the entire season will win a fishing trip with Mark Zona in Michigan, with airfare and hotel included. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio. And check out our new YouTube channel, Largemouth Marketing, for select angler interviews. Until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.